Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 85. This week, we're not coming at you live from our crappy under construction office. No, we're coming at you from a much more exciting place, and that's all the way down in San Diego for Comic-Con 2015, live at Petco Park. Hung out with the Nerdist folks, and on their stage, we did a little bit of shooting down there. We talked to This Week at Rocket Jump. We talked to the film school. We kind of go over what's going on and have a little bit of interaction with the fans who took a little bit of time out their busy Comic-Con schedules to speak with us and ask us some questions. So enjoy what it was like down at Comic-Con this year. Number 85 coming at you live down from San Diego Comic-Con here at Petco Park. Thanks very much to our friends over at Nerdist. We are at their carnival, which is a very difficult thing to say.
Hashtag carnival.
Yeah. So they set up at Petco Park. They got a little side thing. We are completely overshadowed at this very hour by the boy who lived himself, who is taking up the main stage to our left.
Daniel Radcliffe is in the house.
Yeah,
Where is he?
Are you going to step out of the podcast now?
You're nine.
Jake looks like
he's about ready
to leave.
Exited the podcast.
We're here with Des Dolly to my left, stalwart co-founder and showrunner.
Yes,
and
hello.
The team behind This Week at Rocket Jump, Jake and John.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Pretty good.
Hey, did you see Freddy's got a GoPro on his head?
It's pretty rad.
What's up with that?
It's the future, man. Everyone's going to have GoPros on their head soon.
In the future.
This will allow Benji Podcast, Mismaster, and Producer to cut between many angles, namely the one that's being provided to us and the one
and
from
the
my
And the one
head.
On your head.
This is going to be so intense. This is going to be the
All
first...
All two angles!
This is going to be a first-person podcast experience. Anyway, we're here down in San Diego. What was your impressions been here, both everybody? Because you guys were here last year. We were here for a little bit last year.
We were here last year, and I think the year before, right? So this is Rocket Jump's third Comic-Con.
Yep.
But this is, I've been here a few times before. You guys have been here as well, right?
Yeah, this
we're
is my
no
third
Comic-Con
time in
virgins.
A row. This is my third time in a row.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, feel free to elucidate us on your experiences here, John. The people at home want to know what's the difference,
I mean, just a lot of crowds, a lot of human traffic. That's my main association.
Crowds.
Seething,
you know?
Undulating masses of humanity. That's
crowds.
John's review of
You see all kinds of people, all folks from all walks of life. I feel like, is my mic a lot louder than everyone
else? We've been incredibly busy since we've gotten down here. I haven't even actually walked the floor yet. Haven't had a chance to even get into the con.
And I was about to say, Des, you really missed out last night. So Nerdist threw a bash.
I was here.
Oh, yeah.
No, you missed out because
what I missed.
Rick Baker was getting jiggy with it.
Dang. I thought that was him. I was
100%.
Like, who's that guy in the ponytail?
Dude,
that must be
Dr. R&B himself.
Rick Baker, king of practical makeup effects and my personal hero.
The man who inspired
me as a child.
Dog,
I miss him all the time. I always get texts from my friends like, yo, bro, Rick Baker was just here. One time he came up into the office looking for me because someone told him I was a super fan.
No way.
And he came in asking for Des so he could sign all my makeup books, and I was out at a friggin' meeting or some crap like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like two ships in the night.
I missed him. We had a good time at the party last night, though.
That was good times. That was good times. It was always kind of funky, these gatherings at Comic-Con. Because it's a bunch of people you kind of know, you know? So it's like, it's interesting. It's an interesting sort of party dynamic, I found.
Familiar faces.
Yeah, a lot of familiar faces.
Familiar faces. People you don't know. That's my experience, but familiar faces.
Anyway, the reason why we're talking, John and Jake, we didn't invite them down just only for their rug cutting skills on the dance floor. You guys are down here because we have our shooting, the sequel to what happened last year. So tell us a little bit about This Week at Rocket Jump and where you are with that, and what are you shooting down here at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weekly show in which we kind of examine the lives of the people who work at Rocket Jump. But there's usually like a narrative twist, you know, something you don't see coming. It usually goes some pretty crazy places. So it's not always true to life, but it's more like exaggerated life a lot of times. And sometimes it's just flat out insanity.
Yeah, and we were down here this weekend filming the sequel to the laser tag sketch with Nerdist.
Yeah. So
but this time the stakes are way higher. There's so the lasers are real. I'll just say that.
For those who haven't watched the first laser tag thing, which we did last year with Nerdist, well, how did that one end?
That ended with Jessica Chobot getting sentenced to the electric chair. So in order to find out how that happened, you need to watch the first one. It's called Nerdist Showdown. You can watch it on Rocket Jump 2. And yeah, it's full of violence and lasers and all sorts of craziness. You gotta check it out.
And I will say this, Nerdist has always been like our cool friend who gets us into stuff.
Yeah, they're like totally.
They're like our rad uncle.
Yes, exactly. They're the ones getting us into cool stuff. And this year they're doing laser tag again, and we got the chance to look over at the set that they have doing the Comic-Con. The team of Battleborn, I think, the Gearbox title. But it was good times.
Yeah, it was really
around.
Cool.
Yeah. And also it was really difficult, I found, yesterday, because we were filming yesterday. Really hard to film out on the streets.
Yeah,
here.
And especially when you're wearing rollerblades like I was. It's that are too big for your feet.
Well, were they too big for you?
I just thought
you were awful at rollerblading.
That too. It's a combination of those two
How
things.
How did you not rollerblade growing up?
Not everyone rollerblades.
John, did you
up.
Wait? John, did you rollerblade growing up?
I had a brief rollerblade experience. I wouldn't say I was rollerblading, you know, plural or anything.
Des, what about you?
I was a
scooter
guy.
We're '90s kids. It was a hot thing in the '90s, but these guys are a little younger than we are.
Really?
It's about scooters. My generation was scooters.
Wait, hold on. Of the people who are sitting here watching us and not going to see Daniel Radcliffe, how many people guys rollerbladed growing up?
One,
like
two.
Nobody.
Seriously?
Not a single person.
Wow, real quick, y'all dodged a bullet when it comes to rollerblading. Man, that really blows my mind. Wait, really quick, hold on. Here, who didn't raise their hand? Here, you come up here really quick. Hold on. Wait, can we give him a mic real quick?
Yeah.
I just want to ask you something. So hold on real quick. How old are you?
I'm 14.
What's your name?
Malcolm.
Malcolm, okay, so here's my question then. If you didn't rollerblade, how did you get around faster than walking?
I don't know.
Well, how do you currently get around?
Running or like riding my bike.
Bike's the perennial favorite. Scooter? You scoot?
No, not really.
Do you know anybody who scoots?
No.
Hold up. Who scoots up in here?
Hey, scooters.
One person raised her hand and then she immediately.
We got one scooter in the back. You guys got on that. Yeah, we got one guy. Two. Yeah,
she gave us a power fist. I don't think she's a scooter. She just wanted to show us some love.
Yeah. You know what? You know this podcast, by the way, takes an immediate turn if it just becomes us subtly talking about people walking by.
Well, you know what's interesting? There's the few people that listen to this podcast who don't actually watch the video version. We should probably paint a visual for you right now.
Yeah, so there's a never-ending stream of people walking away from us in front of us and a small group of dedicated hardcore fans gathered in front of us. Let me hear what you guys sound like. Give me a shout.
Not bad.
But the faceless masses are drifting away from... Is Harry Potter done? Is he finished?
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe is on the stage next to us hoarding the crowds right now.
No way, really?
He's leading
the Daniel Radcliffe.
The boy who lived. The Daniel Radcliffe. He's right
John
there.
John and Jig are just about to leave.
Do I have to stay for this?
John's gone.
Go ahead. John's over. It's
John,
over.
Will you take one of those autograph books and get Daniel Radcliffe's John
Wait,
Hancock
no, no. Actually, no, no. Now this becomes a thing. John, because you've expressed such disinterest in what's going on right now,
you need to take
that autograph book in front of you, and you need to get Harry Potter's autograph, and you need to get back here before the podcast is finished. That's your assignment. Do you think you can do it?
Only if I get to strip naked.
Only if you can what?
I'm going to strip naked and storm the stage.
No, and then Nerdist isn't going to let us come back to anything anymore. Come on, John.
No. Come on. That would be fun. It would be a viral video. It would bring a lot of good attention to the company.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
We'll think about that while you're off getting his autograph. So be gone, Carmen.
Bye.
Wait, John, so anyway, anything else you guys want to say about this week at Rock Jump before everyone applauds you off?
Anything we need to know?
Yeah. What do you want to say about it? What's coming up?
You got to watch it. It's the craziest show on Rocket Jump by far. It's pure madness. And
every week.
Yeah, every week.
Hopefully
Rocket Jump
every
2.
Week.
Not one, Rocket Jump 2.
Maybe pitch some of the concepts. That are
yeah.
All right, well, this upcoming one, it's called Laser War. It's Jake versus Jessica Chobot. It's the most epic showdown you will ever see on the internet, bar
between
none.
Those two specific people. Yep, exactly.
It's insane.
Yes. Right. And, yeah, we just did a recent one called The Art of Birding, in which you see Clinton Jones, the Punisher, acting like a wild animal and regurgitating food. It's pretty awesome.
That was a stellar pitch from from
check
a Barnum & Bailey acolyte himself.
Is that sarcasm I detect from
you,
Freddy? That would be a rare
thing. Did that sound
sarcastic?
Did that sound sarcastic? Was I sarcastic there, Des?
A little bit.
All right. Okay. Hey, tell you what, real quick. Before you guys want to go see Harry Potter?
We want to go see Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay. All right. Get out of here, you guys.
All right.
In the meantime, while you guys set up, we're gonna be John and Jake are out of here. But in the meantime, really quick, hold on.
Thank you guys.
I want you to come up here. Law, come on up. I want people to see this. So we have an actual, honest to God, VGHS cosplay. Come on, sit down. Have a seat. No, we're serious. John, Jake, like, leave. We want the Law cosplay Hunter.
See you guys. Everybody give a hand to Ruby Dog. Thank you.
Hello, sir. Speaking
of
the mic there.
Hi there.
So, Hunter, you've been, we've seen you at stuff. This is not the first time that you've come here with this outfit, is it correct?
This is my third time.
Yeah. Third time. So, you've been here 3 years now.
Yeah.
Wearing the Law outfit. If you stand up real quick, and I think the camera's getting, but also the sick first person view camera's getting this as well. And you also have the briefcase there.
I do have the briefcase.
Which
here.
Is a really specific reference to the first season of VGHS in a game mode we'd never use again, so sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine.
How have you been finding Comic-Con so far?
So far, so good. I met Deadmau5 yesterday. That was pretty fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Did he have his head on?
I got to shake his hands. He was I was passing him. He was getting his badge. I actually have a Deadmau5 head, which is my other cosplay I've been cosplaying.
Okay, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, first of all, thanks so much for being a fan. Thanks so much for this costume, because it's pretty rad, and I'm always pumped when I see you ambling down the... And you also have the pistol, right?
Let me get that out for you.
Yo, what's up? There you go. He's got the full gold setup with even the long arm on it. So, yeah, this is rad. Anyway.
I actually
love the attention to detail.
Yeah, I actually went down and tracked down the exact fonts you guys used.
That's pretty intense.
That was easier than you might think.
Are you telling me that we use normal fonts, bro? You telling me that our fonts are mundane and pedestrian?
Yes.
Harsh, bro. Anyway, Hunter, thank you so much. All right. Thank you so much for your cosplay. You look rad. But everyone, let's give a big hand here.
Thanks,
Hunter. VGHS is the Law.
Love you, buddy.
Thank
Hunter.
You.
Good times. Anyway, we also have...
I think we have some more friends in the building.
We do have some more friends. We have here...
Who's that? Who that over there?
Joey.
Is that Joey Scombs?
Joey Scombs.
Come on over here, Joey.
Let's bring in Joey and Lauren, if she's back there.
Lauren! Where? Lauren's here?
Really? Lauren's going to be here in a second. We're going to talk Rocket Jump Film School.
Hello. Can you hear me? Yeah. All right.
That's an experience. Anyway.
I had to do the test between this and this.
Introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Joey Scoma, and I work at Rocket Jump Film School now full time with Freddie Wong and Des.
Whoop 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 whoop.
And you're down here not just for Rocket Jump too. You had something going on last night, right?
Very much.
Give us the story.
All right, so I am also a member of 5 Second Films, if you know of it, and it's also founded by the Law. Brian Ferenzi and his whole company, and we just finished our first feature-length film called Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Woo!
Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
.com.
And we screened it last night for free down in the town, and it was really a good screening, and everyone loved it. And
I've seen this movie. It's a real Jimmy's in it as one of the pledges,
yeah.
But it's a send up of sort of horror movies, slashers,
80s slasher flicks,
and it's a fun movie, especially in a big crowd. So how was the screening for you guys?
Well, the screening went really well because, as you said, it's a fun movie, especially in a crowd. So I recommend everyone watching this movie, but if you can, watch it with as many people around you, because watching it alone by yourself is like less of a dude bro party than the party atmosphere that it provides.
It is truly a communal experience.
It's a communal experience.
It's like hanging out at a campfire with your buds. It's that kind of movie.
Yes.
Why don't you give give the fine folks here in front of us and those on the podcast who aren't familiar with the project the pitch. What's the log line?
Well, as the opening title scroll describes, the movie opens as the only surviving copy of a film it recorded in the 80s that was banned by Ronald Reagan. And it is, so since it's the only copy that exists, it was recorded on a VCR and it has commercial breaks like intercut throughout, and it's the only known copy. It's as if it did exist in the 80s.
Who's in it?
Everyone in 5 Second Films that you know, Brian Ferenczi, Ben Geely, Michael Rousselet, myself, Jimmy Wong, and we have Paul Prado and Olivia Kelsey Gunn. Larry King, the Larry King with the suspenders, makes a cameo.
You got Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt, Greg Sestero from The Room.
Incredible.
Incredible.
I don't know if these guys get the Greg Sestero
reference.
Have
you ever heard of The Room? Everyone knows The Room, right?
Yeah, all right, all right.
People know
it's a savvy crowd here.
So he plays Mark.
And don't forget Andrew W.K.
Oh, hi, Mark. Mark is in this movie.
Don't forget Andrew W.K.
Andrew W.K., let's not forget
And me.
I think Andrew W.K. was the easiest sell because he saw the title of the movie and Party was in it. So he's like, I got
in
this movie.
He was down immediately.
Yeah.
Well, tell you what, Joey, where can we find this movie right now?
Because it sounds like a total friggin' blast.
It is. It's fun. It's on iTunes. And DudeBroPartyMassacre3.com.
Cool.
Boom.
And I see on the wings here, we do have the dean of the Rocket Jump Film School herself, Lauren Hartoon. Come on in, Lauren.
Lauren's here.
Everyone, let's give a big hand. Rocket Jump Film School Dean Lauren Hartoonian. Say hi, Lauren.
Hello.
You're
hi.
On two. By the way, in case you didn't hear, we are on two cameras. This camera and my camera.
Which camera do I look at?
You should.
Pointing, by the way, to the sky.
Just the ceiling. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yo, did nobody? Did nobody in this? There's like 40 people in front of me. Nobody said anything.
No, I was just actually laughing at how it was just recording the banner.
This is gonna
be
awful. This is gonna be so awful.
Dan, I'm sorry. Do you want to tilt it down?
Yeah, tilt this down for me. So anyway,
one of the many things that you'll learn in the Rocket Jump Film School is how to properly frame up your shot.
Yeah. Wow. Yo, that's a low blow, Lauren.
Freddie works so fast that he will throw a camera on his head. And just start going.
Yeah.
Until someone tells him, hey.
That camera's not pointing at anything, you idiot.
You won't be able to use that much. Yeah. But.
Look, here's the one thing you see. Look, Comic-Con, what do you see? You see a lot of cosplay, you see a lot of panels, you see some Hall H stuff. You know what nobody ever gets a real in-depth look at? What do the ceilings look like at Comic-Con? For the first time ever.
Freddy's first person field view of the ceiling.
For the first time ever. See what the Petco Park ceiling looks like. This is going to be great. This is going to be fantastic. A million downloads, I can tell. So, Lauren, you're the dean of the Rocket Jump Film School.
Yeah.
For those of us out here who aren't familiar with it or who have maybe only seen a couple videos and don't quite know what it's all about, could you just real quick
give us the skinny.
Real quick. Rocket Jump Film School is an online series on YouTube and rocketjump.com, and it goes through filmmaking tutorials, from directing to cinematography to editing, sound, arts and vanities, cool practical effects, and all of that fun stuff, all online, all for free. It's for free.
Free 99.
Two new videos a week, which is crazy. It's crazy. Except for this month, we're doing like cool podcasts and stuff. But it's all online. It's all for free. We're going to be covering almost everything. We're going to show you behind the scenes for Rocket Jump stuff. We're going to interview our favorite filmmakers.
Is there anything cool? Is there any cool stuff that's coming up?
Coming up, we visited the Universal Costume Department, which was really cool.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, we got to Dez got to talk to Vincent Guastini, who did like practical effects
from VGP Effects. They've done what is their big movie? Dogma,
Requiem
for a Dream, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. Yeah, they're a practical effects firm.
He's
a practical effects dude from New Jersey. Used to be Will Ferrell's personal makeup artist. Yeah.
SNL.
It sounds like our first Rocket Jump Film School field trip, where we go out and about and, meet professionals, working professionals.
Yeah.
Also, I do want to tease something that I was working on the train coming down here. Who here, did you guys, real quick, I just want to ask, did anybody see this video that was going around that was like, there's a number of videos now, but there's a bunch of videos talking about how it's like VFX are ruining movies and how movies were way better back in like like 1990 something, back before computers ruined everything. It was a video going around where it's like, well, I don't know if we necessarily agree with that. So we might have a couple of video essays also coming out. So we're just talking a little bit about the state industry and then do some topics like that. But it's good. It's a lot of fun. I know in this crowd, I see a lot of cameras. We got a guy in front of us here with a glide cam and a oh yeah, thanks, Ez. And a Canon 5D on it. So Lauren, it sounds like who here is like filmmaking sort of or interested in filmmaking, want to learn a little bit about movies? Let's see a show of hands here. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Lauren, what would you say? Good tips. Good tips to start off from.
Good tips.
For any potential.
Pro tip
filmmakers.
Number one, subscribe to Rocket Jump Film School on YouTube.
Oh, God. skip. Next one. Next pro tip. I got that out of the way.
And our big thing, the film school big thing, is like, don't let your gear or whatever you have stop you from making movies. If you have a cell phone, you can make a movie. If you have a handy cam, you can make a movie. If you have a Red Dragon, you can make a movie, but you have to make sure you know what you're doing.
If you have a brain, you know, and 5 minutes to hang out and just, you know, work on some ideas. That's the first step, you know? That's all it takes. Don't let anything hold you up.
Yeah. You want to learn how to tell stories and make movies before spending thousands of dollars on a camera. Like, you make your crappy movies now. Like, make your crappy movies on your phone. Like, get some practice in, see what you can do. And, I mean, there was a movie at Sundance shot entirely on the iPhone 5, it's fine.
There's this really, what's that name of that Robert Rodriguez book that we read when we were kids?
Rebel Without a Crew.
Rebel Without a Crew. That's an excellent book. Robert Rodriguez said this thing that applied to me when I was a kid. It said, everything you're going to make for forever will be crap, and you should just get comfortable with that now, and it's totally okay, and just get it out of the way. Get to work. Make all that crap. Don't be afraid that, you know, maybe the first thing you're going to make isn't Lord of the Rings or Citizen Kane. It's totally okay. Just go out, have fun.
Although, really quick, just to be fair, the first thing Orson Welles made was Citizen Kane at the age of 23,
24? Not crap at all. 23 years old. But he's the only one, right?
Yeah.
We can't all be
that
sweet.
It's not a good example, though, Dad. It's an awful example.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lauren, I know that is this your first Comic-Con, second Comic-Con?
No, I've been here a couple times. But this is the first time I've been on a panel.
How was that?
That was really cool. I got to talk with some cool ladies in film production.
And what was the panel all about?
It was about women in film production and how we're in specific jobs that haven't really, they're mostly male dominated. Like, there's only 2% of all working cinematographers in Hollywood right now are women. Like, 2%.
That's crazy.
Of like the main kind of films that are coming out. And we were just kind of talking about that and how to start breaking that down and bring attention to it.
For sure.
And yeah, we had a metal welder and she was a props master. We had a special effects makeup artist. We had an art coordinator. And we had a stunt woman who just
That's awesome.
It was super cool ladies.
Well stunt people
really
are already the coolest people ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just cool ladies.
Cool. So have you been able to walk the floor yet?
What? I walked around the floor a little bit. Okay. So Joey's spirit animal is Snake Plissken from Escape from New York, and Mondo dropped a special edition Comic-Con exclusive poster of Escape from New York, and me and Anthony both went in on it and got him this poster, and I think we came this close to making Joey cry. This close.
It was the equivalent to watching like The Green Mile for the first time, where I was like this close to just breaking down crying. But it was when I unraveled the Escape from New York poster that Lauren and Anthony got me.
Wait, sorry, back up for a second. What? Wait, The Green Mile?
The Green Mile got me, all right? It got
but like
me
not quite. But not quite, is that what you're saying?
Not quite. I was so close.
Well, the great thing about this is that we have an Escape from New York Snake Plissken tutorial coming out at the Rocket Jump Film School where Joey plays Snake Plissken, basically, as Joey. Joey as Snake Plissken as Joey.
Yeah.
That's the kind of tutorials you can get excited about from Rocket Jump Film School. He wears an eye patch. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys pumped? You guys pumped for tutorials in a non-standard form?
Yeah!
I see so many shaking fists right now. Everyone's
we want them to be fun, not like lame.
Jumping up and down in front of us. Sorry, hold on. What was that?
Nothing. I was just checking with our podcast producer, Benji Dolly, if we had any fan questions. But we got a whole row of fans in front of us here, so when we're ready
true.
For that, we
and
can dive right in.
There's still a lot of people out back there. It is, you know, actually, you know, to be fair, it is a very rare opportunity we get to kind of sit down and do this in front of
folks who know what we're doing
and who are interested in what we're doing. Because most of the time when we do this, like, to be fair, guys, everyone standing here, like, what's in front of me is our place, which is under construction. So, like, there's 2x4s here and drywall over here. But instead of that, we have live breathing human beings. And I feel like we should take advantage of that.
Nice getting out of the office every once in a while.
So if you, real quick, just for the folks listening here, if you folks have any questions for us or want to just jive with us or josh with us a little bit, come on
now
over. Now
would
is
be
the
a
time.
Perfect time.
Line up here
to
on the
line
left.
Up.
Here. Oh, here we
here
got.
We go.
He's ready.
We got the glide cam bro.
He's ready.
Himself.
Names and everything.
All right. Hey, what's your name?
My name is Thin or T-Dragon, and I do YouTube videos.
Wait, hold on. Do you go by T-Dragon?
Yeah, I go by T-Dragon. On YouTube, real T-Dragon on YouTube. Yes.
Do you have a question here for us?
Yeah. What's going to happen next with Video Game High School?
That's a good question.
I knew that was coming.
We knew that was coming. So here's what's going on with Video Game High School, everybody. Thank you very much, by the way. Thank you very much. So here's what's going on with I'll just go back and forth with this.
All right.
Here's what's going on with Video Game High School. Season 4 is not going to be happening. However, I know. Well, look, back up for a second. Let's think about this for a second. Everyone's getting, like, we realize we hit all of these weird things that we never thought were going to be a problem. Like, for example, everyone's getting older. Like, Joey plays Jumpin' Jacks in Video Game High School.
And Joey's, like, 46.
Hang on a second. Clutch is in his 30s already.
Clutch is in his 30s.
Clutch is, like, the oldest of all the high schoolers.
Ferenzi looks like a grandfather.
I know. When we were shooting the third season, we realized we're looking around. We're just like, everyone looks too, like, everyone doesn't look like they belong in high school anymore. It's just ridiculous. And yes, you're right. Well, oh, we could do college. But let's back up for a second. If you're
Thanks,
a pro
man.
Gamer and you're still playing at 21 years old, you're not, because all of your reflexes are shot at this point. Look at the best pro gamers in the world. They're all 18, 19, 20. No, but it's like dancing, right? Or it's like certain, you know, sports. It's like gymnastics. You just can't do it after a certain age. That's my justification for it. Anyway. What?
It's like gymnastics.
You can't
gymnastics.
Do it. Video games.
How the hell would you know?
I watch the Olympics, man.
Sure.
I've seen that.
Okay.
Like, I know the
Let's go with
I
that.
I just don't see any 30 year. Yeah, I was a Tumblr, everyone. I used to do the pommel horse.
Yeah.
This is just
did
iron
you?
Cross. Yeah,
you
nonstop.
Did, you were a pole vaulter.
I was a pole
Freddie
vaulter.
Was a pole vaulter.
That's not a euphemism. I, in fact, competed in pole vaulting
yeah, right?
in high school.
I got to see that.
Yeah,
anyway.
So here's what's going on with Vingham High School, everybody.
We came up with some cooler stuff.
We have cool stuff. We have a Hulu show that's coming out later this year. Dez is going to be show running another show on top of all that. But in terms of Vingham High School universe, we know that people are fans of it, and we're not going to just let it go and be done with it. So our plan is this. Number one, when we came out the first season of Vingham High School, we saw first-person shooters. We're like, that's going to be like the big thing. That's going to be the pro sport, right? And so that's sort of what we built it around. It was also something that we could shoot. It was something we could do action scenes for and do it live, right? However, that's not what happened. Real life went a different direction, and MOBAs became like this huge, you know, very, very popular thing, right? And that's what the pro sport is nowadays. It's League of Legends. It's Dota. It's, you know, Heroes of the Storm. It's all of these types of games. So we want to, like, look in that world a little bit, and we also want to think about VGHS as potentially an animated show, and not animated like in sort of the lame sense, but animated in the cool sense, in the sense that, like, that lets us do so much more with the action and so much more with the characters and so much more also with the types of games that we show. So
all the various video game genres that are nearly impossible to bring to life in a live action series.
So Video Game High School is not dead. It's still out there. It's still coming. It's going to be a slightly different form than you're used to, but we promise it's going to be just
Stay
as
tuned.
Fun.
It will be resurrected very soon in a variety of new and exciting formats.
All right. More questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's still in the process.
There's other stuff that we can't officially announce yet.
for Video Game High School, but it is being developed in a variety of new mediums as we speak.
Yes, indeed. Questions? Hold on. You look like you have a question. Yeah?
You got a question.
Come on over here. Come on over here. Hello. Hi. How's it going?
Hi.
Hold on real quick. What's your name?
James.
James, hi. How's it going? Here, why don't you have a seat. James. What's your question?
My question is about comedy versus drama. So you do a lot of comedy, but are you going to do something super serious? So in Video Game High School, there were some super serious moments where me and my girlfriend were watching, we're like, oh, shit just got real. The people die and stuff like that, or people get upset. And I was wondering if you ever going to do something that's not comedy at all, purely drama.
Excellent question.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll take my seat now, actually.
Balancing tone. That is a director's job. That is a very astute observation.
Well, so here's the thing. So the question is, like, you know, are we ever going to do nothing, you know, step away from just comedy? And as you kind of saw in Video Game High School Season 3, we were experimenting with that a little bit. And, you know, and I think that, and I think, Lauren, here, you agree here, especially coming from the perspective of a film school, when it comes to making movies, there's a lot. It's not like you change. It's not like a huge shift in what you're doing. A lot of the principles that come towards, say, shooting something that's comedic or shooting something that's dramatic, there's not like a huge difference between it. You're still, at the end of the day, working with actors and working on communicating a story visually. You know, I think we personally we're kind of funny. I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but we're funny people. We like to joke around a lot.
We're funny.
We think we're funny, which is almost as good as being
actually
funny.
Entirely different than actually being funny, but we'll take it.
But in our own heads, no different whatsoever. You know,
we make each other laugh.
Yeah, that's something,
that's
right?
That's enough for us, yeah.
But so I feel like there's not going to ever, we're never going to kind of lose the comedy side of things, but for sure, you know, I think coming up here, a number of projects that we have coming up, we're going to start to explore all the other genres that are out there in terms of filmmaking. And VGHS was a little hint into us playing around with that and experimenting and testing our skills in that realm. But that's not something that's just going to end there. It's going to go into a bunch of projects that we have coming up. All right. Any other questions?
Another.
Yes. Hey, how's it going?
This gentleman. Step on up, sir. Introduce yourself.
Hi, what's your name?
David. David Rivers.
Okay. David, yeah, what's your question for us?
Did you guys ever think you'd be doing panels? Like, I mean, going from YouTube to now, like, here? What went through your mind when you first got, like, invited to do things like this?
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's a good question. Dez. And, you know, here's the thing. Comic-Con, I don't know, like, I kind of watched, you know, followed Comic-Con when I was younger. But, like, I was never, like, huge into the idea of, like, you know, like, oh, what's going to happen here and there. I just kind of read about it. I don't know. What about you guys?
Comic-Con's grown, and as you can see, people wait in line for large groups of people, and here we are in Petco Park, and you are the people who are most interested. It's like, here you are, you just walk by, and then you like go, oh, I want to listen to these guys, you know what I mean? So it's like you create like what the internet is that. It's like you just support whoever you are interested in, and we appreciate you all being here listening to us talk about whatever we want, and that's what I think Comic-Con is. It's just this place where everyone can go to, like, you know, learn about what they're most excited about and things.
Yeah. What about you, Lauren?
I had no clue ever that I would ever end up at Comic-Con speaking on multiple things.
That's weird, right?
It's weird. It's super. I know, like 12, like 13 year old Lauren is like, what the hell did you do? Like, how did you get here?
Well, we all met each other back in film school.
Fangirl.
I feel like our experience is very similar in that we were just hoping and praying that we would get an opportunity to take the weird ideas in our heads and make them into a little movie. And we never for one second even considered the possibility of being able to actually meet all the people that we're making these things for, the people that get to enjoy everything. And it just really makes it all the worthwhile, and it's incredible.
Yeah, interacting with people that actually have seen our stuff is, like, the most gratifying thing. I didn't know that, like, it's just so cool. It's the coolest thing.
And I think that's also an important perspective to have, which is to not focus on, you know, some people also, you know, even folks who met in film school, it's like the focus wasn't on making movies. The focus was on something else, something ancillary, something that really was sort of a side effect of hopefully making movies well. And so for us, we always concentrate on making movies, and it's always kind of weird, the idea of like, oh, and also people care about that? That's that
never
blows
realized
my mind.
That this would be part of the job.
I will say though, having been on a couple panels with like I don't consider myself a celebrity at all. Like I've like maybe internet known, but
I don't consider you a celebrity either.
Thank you, Des. But having been on a couple panels both last year and before where it was like it was me and like honest to God real celebrities sitting
right?
next to me.
Yeah.
That's the most nothing is more terrifying than being up on the stage with people who are like, oh, these are real celebrity folks, and it's like professional
I don't
want to
ruin their career.
Professional writers, and it's like they're going down, they're introducing themselves, people are losing their minds, and it's like, gets to me, I'm like, come up with a joke, come up with something funny, don't be an idiot, oh gosh. It's so scary, man. That's like the scariest
situation.
Yeah,
did you ever, your entire life, Freddie, you've been prepping to be a filmmaker, and I bet never once did you ever think that you would have to be telling jokes on stage. Front of hundreds, sometimes thousands of people.
Dude, and it's like
it's a completely different skill set.
It's a very scary skill set.
Yeah.
And it's one that's not expected. And it's like, gotta come up with a cool joke really quick.
Don't blow it.
That's what's going on in my head. As they say, it's
always.
Like, but that's what, you know, it's the duck analogy, right? On the surface, you're like, all good. But underneath the water, you're just like. Anyway.
I think we got a little more time. How much more time do we have? We've got a few more minutes. We're going to bring in Anthony. Let's take one more question while we're bringing Anthony out. Step on up. Introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
Hi, how's it going? What's your name?
Hi, I'm Judah.
Wait, Judo?
Judah.
Oh, Judah. Okay. I thought you were named after the martial art, which would have been pretty metal. What's your question for us?
When you got a lot of ideas and things you want to do, how do you choose which one to run with?
So when you have a bunch of thank you very much for your question. When you have a bunch of ideas, what do you choose which one to run with?
What do you choose?
Which idea do you choose to go with? So Joey, I know that, you know, the 5 second films process is a crazy process and that there's a whole pitch day and a shoot day. So why don't you, that's probably a good sort of intro into this. So how do you guys figure out what to shoot, even if it's just for 5 seconds long?
Well, in terms of 5 second films, we do have a ton of ideas and we break them down. We start a Google Doc and we just put them all into a series of what it takes to make it happen. And every Sunday, we look at the doc and we like go, oh, we don't have two horses. We can't shoot that one. You know what I mean? Like
that's a very
like
specific.
You break it down with what's like around you and what you could feasibly do with on the day. But then it came to the time where we were like, look, we have all these great ideas. Hey, Mike James, Tom Jacobson, 5 Second Films, Dubro, Party Massacre 3.
Woo!
Yeah. So
we know them.
So. You know what it's like when we finally decided, look, we have all these ideas that we have never done, but they're great. We need to find a way to like get horses or get something. And so you basically the answer to your question is like you break it down upon your budget, you know? Like what can you do today that doesn't require anything?
The feasibility. I think for us, when we look at ideas, I think the most important thing is to not get hung up on them. I think the big thing that a lot of people do is they either get hung up on, I got to make sure I have the perfect idea before I do something, or
this thing that I'm going to make next has to be the thing that makes me.
Yeah,
you know?
So for us, it's like we always, any given idea in a short form, like the idea of like, oh, let's do a video about blank. Like that single thing gets changed and modified and grouped, and the group works on it and stuff like that. So that's by the end, it's not very, it doesn't look anything like what it was originally. And you have to kind of let that process happen, because I think the way you get the best stuff is not by being very precious about your ideas and making it has to be this way or whatever that is. It has to be kind of a loose thing, because otherwise you're not going to be able to open up to cool stuff that comes down the way or different ideas or different perspectives. So for us, it's about not concentrating on what's important. And as Joey said, looking at yourself and saying, what can you do right now? Because 9 out of 10 times, 10 out of 10 times, what you can do right now that you go out and do is going to be worth 1,000 times more than what you might be able to do, but you're not going to do, right?
Right.
Action is always better than inaction.
And then if you have a few options of things that you could do right now and you have to choose the one, for us, it usually comes down to what we call stickiness. You know, we pitch a lot of ideas all the time, and, you know, it's the ones that keep coming up in conversation weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years later. And you just have to recognize that there's something about that. There's a reason why everyone keeps coming back to this. You can't explain it. There's no real science to it. It just is a sticky idea. And in your gut, you have to go with it.
So to give you an example of that, right? So when we did every 90s commercial
ever. That idea of let's take kind of like a 90s, you know, like a Capri Sun and like have fun with that and go crazy and have it turn into a monster and all that stuff. That idea had been around for
a couple of years, I think.
Before that. It was
the
like
same
something
thing
that was
with
like,
TIE Fighters too.
TIE Fighters is
absolutely right.
And and real life TIE Fighters was an idea that we were working with, and Forenzi even was on, and that was even like first season, second season of VGHS, another one that was 2 years in the making. But it was never, we just never found the scenario where it's like, oh, we can actually finally do this. And when those opportunities came, that's when we did those videos. And when all the pieces that those things needed fell into place, that's when we did it. But you'll hang on to ideas for a while, and you might not necessarily execute on them. And if I sound a little bit distracted, it's because it sounds like there's some kind of metal
somebody
work.
Banging a thing against a pole.
Someone's building a railroad behind us.
Yes, and real quick, thank you very much, everybody, for your questions. We'd like to bring on, real quick. Oh, who's here? There it is. There he is.
Should we make? Do we need to make room?
We might need to make a little bit of room for him.
Anthony, come here.
Anthony's gonna scooch in.
Thank you, guys. Joey is gonna go.
Thank you, Joey. Everybody, give Joey a big round of applause. Joey from 5 Second
Thank
Films.
Thank you very much, Joey.
Check out DudeBroPartyMassacre3.com.
Available on iTunes. Now we are joined by Anthony Birch, who you may recognize from Hey Ash, What You Playing? And as well as
Hello,
his
sir.
Work, as well as work on Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2, yeah.
Borderlands 2 as a writer.
Yep, I was lead writer of Borderlands 2, and sorry. Apologize for everything.
You shouldn't have to
apologize. Anthony's being a little modest, but he's a total badass.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
That's very sweet of you.
So, how's it going? How's your Comic-Con?
It's been fine. It's been fine.
Getting good swag?
The main thing, I'm bummed Joey left because the biggest highlight for did you talk about the poster already? That was it. That was all I had to talk about.
Lauren
ruined it. No, I have nothing. I have nothing.
So, Anthony, you've been working on all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
Including we have a video coming up in about a week or so. That's a short that you wrote after much sort of, and again, to go back to the question of ideas, one where we had a lot of difficulty coming up with an idea for something and then kicking the idea around a little bit and finally landing on something that was kind of interesting and we thought it was something that we would go with. But I don't know, talk a little bit about, if you could, I guess both in terms of your time spent on Hey Ash, What You're Playing, and also some of the short stuff that you've done for us, what is that writing process like for online, an online video that you found?
Well, it sort of depends on what you're trying to accomplish. So like for Hey Ash, What You're Playing is a stupid sketch comedy show I do with my sister, my friend Justin, and my dad. And the whole premise of that show is like, make sure every episode is maybe 90 seconds or less. So like if you come up with one good joke, it's worth writing an episode just to get to that joke. And it's like, just end really quickly and don't wear out your welcome.
Yeah.
Whereas the stuff we're doing is like, it should be good like all the way through. It should be like a real thing with a beginning and a middle and an end. And they should be shorts and tell stories and da-da-da. So yeah, the big process for the one we got coming out in a couple of weeks was very much like to me the metaphor is like, I don't know, it's like mining, where it's like you sort of dig a little shaft and then you can go down a little bit further in that shaft and find that there's nothing and you can keep digging, but oftentimes that area is just bad and you need to just move out and just set up a new shaft somewhere else entirely and then start digging there. Because like we iterated on one or two variations, or like 15 variations of one or two basic ideas for a long time, and then when we finally got the idea that cracked it, that was just us walking to Starbucks and just tossing and just going, pretend those don't exist. What if it was this? What if it was that? And we found one random thing that made you laugh really hard.
Do you realize, by the way, that you could probably sell so many screenwriting books if you just made it like how screenwriting is like Minecraft instead of making it mining. Maybe it was, yeah, sometimes you just keep digging. There's no diamonds under it. You gotta find the cave.
Looking for that glory hole.
Yeah. Network notes are like a creeper in that they sneak up on you and destroy everything you've built.
That's the studio system.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
You can sell that.
But have you been having a good time so far down here at Comic-Con? When are you headed back?
I'll probably come back. I've not been on the show floor, so all I've really seen is the like never-ending barrage of like brands assaulting your senses and like
yeah,
a large
a
army.
Minions
yeah.
everywhere.
God, yeah. Minions. I love them now. I'm like, I feel like Winston at the end of 1984.
Right?
I just have minion fever and colony and all the people walking and marching in military, like looking like a military force in an urban population, which doesn't convey exactly what I think they think it's conveying.
It was creepy.
I just lost the second hand.
And Freddie lost the camera.
Oh, it's okay. But let me ask you this. How do you feel about because, I mean, look, Comic-Con is a lot of people who are fans of. How do you feel about the marketing efforts that happen around here?
It's made me really sort of feel cynical and I second guess everything I see because there's certain marketing things that are cute, like the bikers that go around that you can just sit in them and get taken from place to place, the bike taxis. Some of them look like the Iron Throne from Game of Thrones. I was like, oh, that's cute. And I turned and I saw a woman in Khaleesi cosplay singing one. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. That's awesome. And it's so good that I think that somebody pay her to be in there and just get wheeled around all the time.
Oh, they surely did.
I'm sure they did. It's weird because the thing that's awesome about Comic-Con is people coming in with their own enthusiasm for stuff and displaying and putting on, you're dressed as the law because you love VGHS. Like, that's like perfect and beautiful. And it's really easy to manufacture that by throwing money at people to pretend that thing is something they care about. And it just kind of makes me feel like suspicious of everything. Like, I don't know if I can trust anything.
But we can trust this. Oh, wait, hold on. There we go. Yeah, and because I noticed, because one of the things that happened this year versus other years that I've seen for the first time is roving groups of people. I think people realize that now it's so crowded around Comic-Con that the only way you can get any sort of marketing message across is you need 100 people doing something in unison, which is weird because one, it's already crazy crowded. I never thought that outside could be too crowded, but San Diego around this time is too crowded outside. So on top of that, you have that, but then on top of that, you have more people with the only purpose, again, of just trying to break through that. So it's just this feedback loop of now there's too many people, but now these giant groups of people are taking up too much space, so you need a bigger giant group of people to fight against. And I feel like that's, I don't know, I just feel like we're going down the path here.
We're headed toward a singularity where it's only people advertising to no one. It's advertisers advertising to other advertisers.
Maybe.
It's fake protesters fighting other fake protesters that are all promoting the same show.
Maybe.
That might be the glorious and beautiful future.
What is the worst example of marketing you've seen down here at Comic-Con?
The worst example...
Is there
example,
like something just embarrassing or
oh
awful?
Oh, man. The worst example of marketing that I've seen so far. Well, okay, I will say something that was interesting that happened this year. So around Comic-Con, around E3, for any of you who've been to conventions, there's always the group of people who will protest with the yellow signs and the religious message behind it and everything. And what's interesting is they definitely toned down their approach. Because in years past, they've been weirdly aggressive about it. It's even stuff where it's they'll have a picture of the Hulk, and it's Hulk says something, and it's whoa, this is kind of a weird attempt to kind of co-opt everything into one recognizable message, but now it's very benign almost. It's just hey, this is what we're saying, and it used to be people would get into arguments with them, and I remember you see videos from Comic-Con support, years past, people getting shouting matches and stuff, and it was really aggressive and weird. I think everyone kind of realized, hey, that's not a good way to get a message across, so it's just a very benign, okay, here's our thing now. It's a very, it's a totally 180 from what it used to be. But then there's a marketing thing, but I don't know what the show is, but they basically kind of do that, but the marketing
version. It's for Damien.
For Damien. And here's the weird thing about it. I don't know anything about the show except they're kind of weirdly riffing on a kind of weird part of Comic-Con. So I don't know if that was the message they wanted to get across.
Yeah, it was weird to look and be like, I feel like the actual evangelicals are a little bit less obnoxious than the guys running around screaming,
really,
it's all for you, Damien, with 666 on their shirts.
Yeah, it's unbelievably, the property became crazy. It's nuts. It's crazy. And then also, I think one of the things that happens here in Comic-Con that happened last year, which is you see the Uber tie-in. So you have UberX, you have all your stuff, but then at the very end, it's you can get free Uber rides from a television show.
This week it's USA Network.
Yeah, with Colony,
sponsored,
right?
Sponsored Uber, yeah.
Which is always kind of weird to me, because it's there's something about it, something about the commerce part of Uber combined with, hey kids, you want a free ride?
From my van.
From my van for this TV show. It just feels dirty.
We got some
weird
quality content in here.
Hey, when you're sitting in here, you're going to see some trailers. It's I don't know if I ever really want to do that. And the people driving it look really bored. And also, I don't know anybody. By the way, this has never happened in any of the groups I've been at Comic-Con. Nobody's been hey, let's go somewhere. Hold on. Before you call that Uber, let's get a ride from the Colony Uber. It's nobody says that. Because who would say this to their friends? Hey, you want to be cool to get a brand sponsored marketing message as we go to our place? No, dude.
Who wants to be part of the machine?
That's no, dude. Yeah. We're not friends with you anymore. That's what happens there, you know? So that always kind of creeps me out about it. But then again, I think that there's a lot of... I get it, right? It's a big place. A lot of people who are fans of stuff, and it's a good place to reach people. And it's just crazy how much wilder and nuts people are getting to try and reach.
Absolutely. I will say, on the positive side, I think Nerdist Burrito Stand, the Enjoy Your Burrito stand over here,
oh, it's fantastic,
is an absolutely brilliant piece.
Well, that's
of branding and marketing.
And to be fair, over here, what's nice is our Petco Park is that it's like it's low key and it's like shaded and it's cool and it's out of the sun and there's just a lot of different things to do. So it's like I'm a big fan of this. It's just it's something about the roving street gangs willing to beat you into submission to watch your show that throws me up. That's all I'm saying.
This is cool too. The legendary VR headset that you can get for free. Just this cardboard box that you slip your phone into. If you guys haven't gotten this yet.
Dude, I really want to make a troll VR headset where you fold it, but after you're done folding it, there's the slot in the bottom is open. So it's like stick your phone in, and when you put it on, your phone just shatters. Like you've experienced the Rocket Jump Phone Breaker cardboard app. Congratulations. or you like, no, you have to download the app. And what happens when you download the app, when you hit play, it just vibrates your phone until it falls out. Everyone's like, what is wrong with you guys? To see how much you could break. That'd be great. This is why I'm not in charge of our merchandise.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Anyway, I feel like
we're about out
of
time. We should start wrapping this up.
I feel like the day is long, and there is much to do outside and in and around. You guys have been standing here so patiently and hanging out with us. So
thank you all very much for joining us and asking your very insightful questions. And thank you for enjoying the Rocket Jump content. We appreciate you guys so much.
Thanks for sticking around. Go have everyone out there, have yourselves a good convention. Everyone at home, have
yourself
a good day.
Lauren, Anthony, Joey, John, Jake, Benji, everyone, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And until next time, we'll see you all next time. Oh, what a great sign up, Freddie.
That was
freaking
awful,
fantastic.
Freddie.
Jeez.
Freddie, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to redo that.
No, that's it. We're ending on that.
No, we're gonna,
that's
let's
it.
Thank
we're
Nerdist.
Done. Bye. Oh, of course. Yes. Thank you, Nerdist. Thank you, Legendary, for giving us booth time.
Booth space. Quote unquote booth space.
And a chance for us to just scream at people walking away from Daniel Radcliffe on a Saturday afternoon. Check that one off the bucket list. All right. See everybody later.